Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Tan Tanner. Thank you again for joining me this week. I hope you're all doing well. I hope your summer is going great, even though, the world is basically burning. Here we are again. There's so many things happening at the moment, and I honestly have a hard time keeping up with everything. And whenever I think about what I'm gonna do next for the show, it's mostly something that is really like staying with me for at least a week, like something I cannot stop thinking about. And recently I was having this conversation with a few friends about consumption under capitalism, and mostly it was basically the conversation started with the fact that, like I am very into fashion, my friends are very into fashion, but like a lot of the fashion things are very expensive. And we were talking about how like we would like to afford certain things, but at the same time we wouldn't want to be able to do that, because that would mean that we're part, that we're capitalist pigs, and that we have truly become one with the system, and that's something that we would want to avoid. And then I think this is a very hard well, like it's not a hard dilemma, but I think there is some sort of dilemma in that, because I then raised the point that like if you do have the money to support certain brands or artists, for example, or also sustainable clothing, then you would use your money for good still. But then like you sh should we have that money? Should we have that kind of money in the first place? And anyway, so basically that is what I've been thinking about this entire week. And so that's why this episode is about ethical consumption under capitalism, and basically the question of whether that is even possible or not, because in my personal opinion, I don't think that you can win under capitalism. I think there's always something that is gonna— can you hear the car honking? Anyway, that is gonna go wrong, basically. Like, okay, let's— okay, where do we start? What do we define as ethical consumption? I mean, ethical consumption would mean for me to like make conscious choices in doing what's best for society and, the general environment. But then also at the same time keeping in mind like social and political influences. So for example, I think was it last week or this week? I'm not sure, but there was this whole discussion, or at least there was this kind of exposé about Nike not supporting the Muslim community in China, but rather exploiting them and to make their clothes. And then a lot of people were saying like we're gonna stop buying from Nike. So for example, that would be an ethical decision to not buy from that company because they are abusing human rights. And there's a lot of these examples, right? Especially in fast fashion and in like mass— in the mass market. So ethical consumption basically means keeping all of these things in mind and making conscious choices about what we invest in and what we get— who we give our money to. And yeah, just being conscious of your choices, I guess, and making the right decision. yeah, I find this very hard in under capitalism, because capitalism was just not created to be ethical, you know what I mean? I think I talked about this a little bit in another episode. Where I said like that, there is not really an incentive for companies to be ethical or make morally correct decisions, because capitalism rewards greed, it rewards selfish behavior, it doesn't really make us better humans, and that's why it's harder to make make ethical decisions when you live under capitalism, because your resources are very limited. And even when your resources are not limited, that is also— that poses also a problem, but I will get there in a bit. Like we shall start at the let's call it like quote unquote bottom of the pyramid. So when you are a low income family or a low income person, like minimum wage jobs, that which are not even like, you know, a given everywhere in the world, and like even in places where it is given, sometimes the minimum wage is not enough to actually you know, guarantee living conditions, like proper living conditions. So that is already in a problem within itself, like, right? Because the if you're in the situation, usually you don't have the agency to even make ethical decisions in that sense. You just take whatever, you get your hands on whatever you can afford. So, for example, I don't know much about America or Asia, you know, like East Asia and Southeast Asia. I only, from my own experience, am familiar with European and Middle Eastern environments. So I will base my observations on that. But so let's suppose let's say you are a German family and you have minimum wage income. You know, you have to pay rent. You don't really know you can't really decide who your landlord is. You just take whatever is cheapest. And you know, and also when you go grocery shopping, you're not going to grab, you know, the more expensive organic option just because it's organic and it's better for your environment. You will grab the cheaper option because that is the one that you know, will save you the most money, which means that you can buy other things as well. And it's the same for, this is a huge, huge thing that I always say when it comes to also environmental issues, because like, you know, we always say like, oh, the meat industry is bad. You know, it's exploiting animals, it's exploiting land. That is all very true. However, meat is much cheaper than meat alternatives. And like, of course, like you could argue like, oh, they don't have to buy either. But like, you know, you do want your, at the end of the day, like, you know, people should have the option to do so. And the reason why meat is so much cheaper is because the meat industry is subsidized by the government. It's the same for milk. It's the same for, you know, like cheese, of course. And that's the problem with, like, for example, more ethical products. They're not subsidized by the government. So they are more expensive. And that automatically creates a barrier for, you know, minimum wage or low income families, because they can't even make that choice. And it's the same for clothing. Like, this goes into all other aspects of life. Because you cannot, you cannot not go to fast fashion stores, because it's the only thing that you will be able to afford. And you want to put clothes on your children, you want to put clothes on yourself. And that already is hard. And there is no way, like, because neither the industries that are ethical are subsidized, nor are families that are or individuals who are in that low income spectrum are, you know, supported by the government, because we live under capitalism. That is already the first problem, right? Because they don't have the choice. They cannot actually they could think about these things, but there is nothing within their power that they could do, you know? And if you want to survive, at least, like, that's, you know, like, there is a, again, capitalism forces us to be selfish as well sometimes, because in this situation, like, there is no other way. And then when you go into, like, let's say middle class, like lower or upper middle class, these people usually have a little bit more lenient barriers. So, like, for example, like, maybe they cannot always afford the most ethical choice, but definitely sometimes they will have that choice. And, like, I mean, I'm definitely from a middle class family, so for me, for example, I do try to make ethical choices. So, for example, that when I go to the, like, I've stopped eating, I have stopped buying meat, for example, like, even though if I go outside and I go to a restaurant, I do eat meat still, but I stopped doing that. Which is also a luxury, and that's what I'm like, me being able to make that choice is a luxury. That's the thing, right? Like, I have the means to make that choice. But there is also other things that I can't. Like, there is things that I cannot afford, even if I would like to, because I know that they're the ethically correct choice. Like, for example, I cannot always afford ethical clothing. Like, I wish there is, of course, there's brands that do, like Armed Angels, I think is very sustainable. It's a very sustainable fashion brand. I think they're, in terms of human resources, they're also a lot more ethical than most other companies. But like, even then, like, it's also very expensive. So it's still a bit of a luxury in that sense for you know, for someone who's in the middle class. But here's the thing. So I feel like the middle class is kind of in this mumbo situation. Like, is it called that when you go any limbo, that's the word, sorry. Because, you know, the middle class doesn't have the means to change the system or influence the system in a way, in a grand way. I mean, of course, you are, through your conscious choices, you are shifting demand, and I can see that shift within the market as well, like especially in Europe. In Turkey, not so much, because there was other things going on, but especially in Europe now, with all of these vegan places, for example, popping up, there is also a bigger conversation about fashion. Like, these things, I think, are the two biggest, you know, I think the fashion industry and food consumption and all of these things, those are the biggest indicators of of ethical choice, I think, like in your everyday life, at least. And I can make certain choices that do influence, but the demand slightly, but I cannot do it on a regular basis. I can also not, like, I mean, like, personally, like, I used to donate, for example, I was donating to charities on a monthly basis, but I quickly noticed that, like, I cannot afford to do that. After a year, you know, of monthly donations, I was like, this is stretching me a lot. So there's also that, you know, you always have to, like, there's a payoff, which is totally fine. And that we should be willing to also, you know, sacrifice. But again, like, I feel like the middle class still has some sort of barrier, and we cannot influence as much as I would like to. And moving on from the middle class, if we go to the upper class, I'm not talking about the uber rich yet, because the uber rich are just evil, pure evil. Like, I don't know what they're doing, but talking about the upper class, which is, I guess, where, you know, the capitalistic tendencies could be coming in. The main difference that I see between those two classes is that, and okay, I'm talking, like, I actually took class theory and I studied social studies or something, which I did. And I'm sure that if I was a social studies student, I would have, like, actual references and, you know, better, you know, actual theories to present. And I'm sure that there's a lot out there, but, I'm just doing my best with the knowledge that I currently have, which is, you know, an economics degree and a lot of research that I do, just, you know, for fun, I guess. But anyway, so I think the biggest difference between the upper class and the middle class is that the upper class has the means to actually influence certain trends, not everything, but certainly we can, like, if you're an upper class person, you have enough money to at least shift perspectives. So, for example, we were talking about this, right? So me and my friend, she was like, I would feel like a capitalist pig. And I said, well, if she could afford certain clothing. And I said, well, what if you use that money to support a, you know, a underfunded artist? Because fashion is an art at the end of the day. And, like, we don't have enough, for example, people of color in the industry, or enough women, or, you know, like, that are actually in charge, like, that are the main designers. And, like, what if we do that? Is that then ethical, or is that still unethical for you to keep, like, you know, to still keep most of your money? Because that's when you're in the upper class, you can afford to, especially if you're part of the uber rich, you know, you can afford to do that, but then you will still have enough money to, like, way too much money, way too much. Let's just say it. Like, you know, I'm not a big fan of philanthropy and like Bill Gates and that stuff. Like, I mean, obviously he's like, Bill Gates is the best case scenario, but like we cannot trust the best case scenario. Like, not everyone is like that. But anyway, so yeah, so that's the thing. How ethical is it to make more money than you need? Which this is the question that has basically like been on my mind for the entire week. Like, is it still ethical to earn that much money if you're using it to, you know, shift industry towards a favorable outcome, you know? Or is that also still evil because you are influencing the industry? Like, you are literally, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the invisible hand theory of economics, which, like, you know, it's bullshit. But basically, that's the basic idea of capitalism. It's part of that, you know, like, the invisible hand is basically that demand and quantity available is driven by the market and by the people who consume certain things and stuff. But that's the thing, like, when you are upper class or uber rich and you can influence that, then you know, you're basically Satan. I don't know how to say this otherwise. Like, you're basically taking over the market in a way that, you know, the masses can't do. And that's the whole point of the invisible hand, though, that like the masses are driving the market. But we're not really in that sense, you know, if that's how we influence, if the uber rich and the upper class have the control of that. Because, you know, like, again, it could go really well. Like, you know, someone who has a lot of money might, I'm gonna go back to the fashion example. We could also do like a food example. Like, someone, a lobbyist decides like, yeah, we want to be sustainable. Like, let's promote like, you know, food alternatives to meat and animal products because it's better for the environment, which this is never gonna happen. Like, right? Like, we know. Because it's not as profitable. But anyway, like, let's say someone is using their money for good and they're lobbyists and they're lobbying for yeah, for you know, a more sustainable food market. And they're changing the market and our CEO emissions decrease, our they're you know, they're lobbying with the politicians, whatever, and the politicians start making laws on like subsidizing soybean farmers or oats, you know, like oat milk becomes a lot cheaper, oat yogurt becomes a lot cheaper, all of these like alternatives suddenly become affordable for the masses, for a much wider mass than it was before. But it can also go the complete other way, which is what is currently happening, right? Like, we are currently in the worst case scenario, in my opinion, and that's the whole thing. Like, sure, I know that, or I would hope to, I would hope to know that, like, people I know and my friends that I associate with are good people and that they would use their money for good, but there is not really a guarantee for that. So, is it still? So then the question again is it still ethical to even earn that much money? Should we allow that? And that's the whole thing, right? Like, I always say, I was having another discussion with a friend, I think last year, about how a lot of the like zero waste things, for example, they're not very mass friendly because a lot of people cannot afford a lot of the alternatives that are like shown on Instagram, you know, like you have the metal boxes, like the bento boxes and stuff, and they're just, who is gonna spend like 20 euros on a box, right? And I told her, like, yeah, definitely, like the things that are advertised on Instagram are for certain, you know, upper middle class at least, who don't, you know, they can afford to spend that money and see the benefits of it. But I told her, like, the it's not about what you see on Instagram or what is advertised to you in that way. It's more about like doing as much as you can in the position that you are, which doesn't necessarily mean like go get that metal bento box, you know, like you can also get a you know, a 1 euro box from a reusable box from Aldi, and that's fine as well. I mean, it might be out of plastic, but you know, you're reusing it, so it's still better than not reusing something at all. But if we all only do the best we can, then like, I don't know. I think this is such a difficult. I don't think there's a real solution because I don't think that capitalism allows for us to be ethical in the first place. Because there's always like even Google Maps, like this is also one of the things that I was thinking about because last week there was this whole discussion about how Google Maps never had Palestine on it because political gain and financial power, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I support Palestine, but like, am I gonna stop using Google Maps? Like, I don't know what the alternative would be. Like, for me, ethically, I feel bad, but like, is there an alternative? It's the same with Apple Maps, I think. Because let's say I start using, I'm sh maybe if you guys have found a Google Maps alternative, please do send them to me because I would love to do that. But like the only alternative that I could come up with was like, okay, I'm gonna start using old-fashioned maps, like, but they were made out of paper, and then like I'm killing trees, and like there is always a trade-off that I feel like we cannot win, like the masses, there's nothing that we can do for that. And it's the same, I feel like, for me, I always saw that like if I would have a lot of money that I don't need, I would just like distribute it to people because like what am I gonna do with it, other than that. But that is the socialist concept, and this is why I am leaning, like I would like to have a more socialist state. I'm not saying dictatorship, right? Like I a lot of people confuse socialism with communism and dictatorship, and it's not that. But I feel like capitalism just makes it really, really hard for the average person, but also for the average person, first of all, to make conscious and ethical choices because we usually don't have the means to do that. But also, it poses an ethical question when you start earning more money. What are you going to do with that money? Like, are you gonna use it for yourself? Are you gonna use it for others? What are you investing in? Like, what is you might want to support independent, for example, jewelers, but then do you really know where are they getting their jewels from? Like, are they and all of these things I think play a big part, and it's and we are the internet in the internet age, and there's a lot of things that we can research and that we can find out, but not everything is on there, especially with independent, I mean with big companies definitely, like you can't find so much dirt on them so easily. But there is a not that much on independent people, for example, and a lot of things come out, like for example, you will support someone one day and then the next day suddenly you find out that they are racist and then you're like, whoops, that happened. What are we gonna do now? So like, what is the alternative for on one side the masses that are like they even when we're conscious about things, there sometimes there is no alternative. What do we do then? Do we create the alternative? How can we do that as a group, as a community, as a global community especially? Like that makes the whole thing much harder, right? Like the bigger our social environment becomes, the harder it is to make an impact on a bigger scale. But then on the other hand, also, what is the solution for people who are earning, in my opinion, too much? Like, what do we do? Do we put a, like, I mean, in my personal opinion, I think there should be a cap. Like, once you've earned this much, like, there is no need for you to, earn anymore because you will be able to pay everything and to live comfortably your entire life. So, just distribute it or stop working, like what are you doing? But like how do we ensure that someone doesn't get too much power also in deciding which is already like we already have too many people in power that are making the wrong choices for us as a again as a global community, like the fuel industry, the meat industry, most fashion brands. So yeah, what is the solution? Like, what do we do? And I don't know. I haven't found a perfect solution for it yet. Like for me, it's just all about not living under capitalism. I don't think under capitalism there is a solution. I don't see one that would like work perfectly. And I'm not saying that socialism is the perfect solution to everything, but I do believe that it would make a lot of things a lot better. So yeah. If you have any solutions, please do let me know, because you know, a lot of people are evil, so I don't know if we can trust most people to do the right thing. Anyway, I feel like I'm just at this point, I'm just repeating myself, so I'm gonna stop. But if you do have any solution, if you are a social studies student, I would love to hear from you, especially from those people, because I am sure that you have a lot of thoughts on this. At the end of the day, you know, like I feel like capitalism doesn't give us as much choice anyway. That is my main problem. But I would love to hear what you guys think. So do comment under our Instagram post if you have thoughts. And I will see you next week. Until then, please stay hydrated. Please eat well. Check up on yourself, on your friends, on your family. And see you next week. Bye.